Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the word that's come out. We praise you, Father, for your word that tells us that all we have to do is ask you, and you're going to give us the answers. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night, that you're going to be guiding and leading us. Not that you don't always, but Lord, we just ask that tonight be a special anointing on upon everyone for deep revelations into the things that are coming upon us. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. Thank you for an open heaven. Thank you for all the healings, deliverances, freedom. And we praise you, Father, for being with us and leading us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Okay. We got any prayer requests? Oh man, this is going to be a short one. No prayer requests. How about testimonies? Yeah, Julie.
I have a testimony.
Okay.
Every little thing counts, right?
That's right.
God's faithful and he's good. So I made some cookies yesterday, and it was a new recipe and I hadn't made it before, and it was on my computer screen and I didn't read it real carefully as far as measuring the ingredient and stuff. And I know some of you people out there who like to bake, adding too much baking soda is not always a good thing. So I had accidentally doubled the amount of baking soda in my cookie recipe, along with it had baking powder in there too. And I'd made everything up, put it all together, blah, 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 follow all the directions. And I went back and reread everything, and it has steps to it. Like today I baked them, they had to refrigerate. And as I was reading that, I was like, oh no, I put in twice the amount of baking soda. So I just said, Lord, whatever baking soda and is supposed to do in this recipe, and don't let it be too much. I said, take out what I don't need in there and make it right. So, and I was reading online, it's like, what happens if you put in too much baking soda, blah, 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 and it's supposed to make the cookies like more cakey as opposed to chewy, or, you know, they get bigger. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. So when I was baking them today, I put one pan in the oven. It's like, okay, Lord, remember what I prayed last night, that you would make things right. And they turned out perfect. They turned out really good. They're not cakey. They're not big and high rise, like, you know, that's supposed to do. So God can correct your measuring errors when you do that. So, and they tasted delicious too, by the way. So they weren't too salty or anything like that. So thank you, Father. You're awesome. If you're all here, I'd share them with you.
Well, I sure would like to have one. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Lana, I'll get right to you, Matt. Oh, my goodness. Don't you do that, Julie. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, girl. That looks delicious fried. Go ahead, Lana.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to share a praise report. So little Gabe woke up the other day and he seemed to be in what I thought was just not a good mood because he was teething. He's cut one tooth already and I'm not sure if the other one's come through yet. And so I dealt with it and he was crying, and I noticed he was crying of pain. Us mommies learn very quickly the differences in our condition. Okay, I noticed that it was pain. It was not cranky. He was not fevering. Later on that day, I started praying and thinking, Lord, show me. Show me what's going on. Show me what this pain is all about. It's not tea. And I'd like to take care of it. I'd like to make sure my baby is pain-free.
Well, we heard most of it.
It wasn't very pleasant to watch. And if it was before, and thank God it was not, perfectly fine. Nothing to me. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Am I breaking out? Michael, is my service bad?
Well,
okay. Maximichka. Maximichka. Come here.
The same
as can you hear?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. We can.
So, so after dealing with Gabe crying from pain all day, the next morning I decided I was going to do something about the pain in his bottom. I wanted to investigate. Long story short, am I coming across clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Long story short, my little baby had swallowed a plastic star and it was lodged in his bottom for almost 2 days. And I got it out. So praise the Lord. It made my mommy's heart very, very relieved. I was shaking with excitement when I found it. And that the Lord put it on my mind that he must have something lodged down there. And we're very grateful. It was not a small pointy star, that it had made it through his intestines and through his colon, and it exited out of his body. So praise the Lord. No damage done. Nothing hurt. Nothing stuck. And Gabe is doing well.
Amen. Gabe is the star. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Lana. Okay, Matthew, I think he has an announcement here.
Do I?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Well, I would like to introduce you to the newest member of my family.
Hang on. Let me get you up here so everybody can see. Okay, there he is. Can y'all see?
Can y'all see me?
Okay, we can see you. Go ahead.
All right. I would like to introduce you to my newest family member.
Hey, Shoshana. Hey, Shana, what are you doing, girl? You're froze. There she is. Awesome.
Here we go.
Hey, girl.
He's sleepy.
Yeah, I see. Praise the Lord. Girl, you better open them eyes. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for this newest addition to the fellowship. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Plus, there's a couple of testimonies that go along with that.
Okay.
So Anna prayed, and the last two deliveries were quite painful for her. So she wanted this one to be less painful, and she was believing for it, and we prayed about it in the meeting, and it was extremely a lot less painful for her.
Praise God.
And coming out, and there wasn't. So, and she did not have any back labor with this one. And she came at 2:55 in the morning at 7 pounds, 10 ounces, 21 inches long. And then she's been really good. She came out screaming, but she's actually a pretty quiet baby.
I guess she got it out when she got out, huh?
I guess.
Amen. Well, thank you, Matthew and Anna. That's a beautiful baby. Beautiful baby. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah, for your newest addition here.
Mm-hmm. Shoshana.
Shoshana. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, girl. Look at her grin. Okay. All right. Thank you, Matthew and Anna. All right, Debbie, go ahead.
Everybody, and hi, Michael. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see y'all.
Victory was here this past week. She got here on the 2nd and left on Saturday, on the 7th. It was a really good time. Lord just blessed everything. He answered prayers. I just couldn't go into everything. It just takes so long, but let me guess a little bit. First thing happened was the answer to prayer of a good trip here with the kids, three in the car, and the way they can fight, and just the car be okay. And everything was fine with the car, no problem. And the kids were just nothing from them, nothing at all. She said it was a very sweet ride. In fact, Jonah and Cat May stayed up the whole time she was driving through the night. I think Cat May slept an hour, and the little one, Hatcher, slept a couple hours. But it was a very good trip. The car was kept really good. It was kept. So God kept it, his hand on it. And then we had answers to prayer where she was here for sun to come out and stay out, and it did. And didn't on the pot blessing day, though. I wonder what happened there. But we went to Bald River Falls. It was raining on the way there. It's supposed to rain throughout the day, and it was raining on the way there. But we on the way, we prayed that it would stop raining, and I was commanding those clouds, they were not going to drop down any more rain, and the sun was to come out, and the sun came out. As soon as we got there, sun came out, and it had stopped before that, but the sun came out really bright, and it was just a beautiful time there, and stopped at the eatery on the way back, and it just started sprinkling a little bit when we were done eating, finishing up eating, but that even stopped, so it was so nice. Just things like that, God really blessed her. She knows that God personally blessed her and the kids too, into some big old splash pad in Athens, which wasn't open. It was a playground mainly, but there was a splash pad there, and the splash pad wasn't open. And so, but the guy came up and saw us there and said, you know, and it was really hot, so I'm gonna turn this on for you guys. Says, don't put it on Facebook or nothing like that. It's not supposed to be open till tomorrow. So that was an answer to prayer, and the kids were all happy, and Virginia was happy. So, but it was just a really good time, and she got baptized when she was here. David baptized her in his tub, and that was a real blessing. The message she got from him was just so nice, and just the way God did things was just amazing. Jonah's grandma, his father's mother, found out Jonah was here. She lives in Georgia, and only 3 hours away, so she came, and she met us where the pot blessing was, but it was towards the end of it, and then so she and her two sons who came, Jonah's uncles, followed us up to where the baptism was and to David's house, and they were able to be there when is that. So it was just also really nice. She had a really good trip back home. She said it was just like the first trip coming up. She said it was just another sweet ride. So the car was just fine. We had a couple incidents. One was I was taking her to an area to look at the mountains. I don't know what the name of the road is, but it's that's not too far away. It's real close. And you go up this road, there's a house there, but then you can see the mountains, the Smoky Mountains. She wanted to find a place like that. I said, I know where there is one. So we went there. I pulled in the driveway straight ahead, and she was going to come around and pull in the driveway. And she went into the ditch, and her right tire got stuck in the ditch. She couldn't get out. And she was all frantic, like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. What have I done to my car? And some guy came driving by past her. And then he backed up and said, I think I can help with that. And he looked and he said, oh, maybe I can't. I don't know about this frame. And he started actually give it up. And then she was talking, we were talking about how important it was for her to just get out of there. And what could we really do? I left my phone here at home. I couldn't call anybody. It's on the charger here. And then he said, well, let me look again. So he looks again under the car and says, well, I think I can do something here. So he tied the rope up to whatever it was and pulled her out. And her car was just fine. But the way it went down in there, you thought something was wrong. It hurt something, but it was just fine, not a problem. And then when we left the pot blessing to go up to David's up that hill, her car wouldn't make it. And she thought that she thought she was having troubles with the transmission anyway, the RPMs, although the mechanic said it'll get you there and back, just drive carefully. But she couldn't make it up that last incline. And she thought, oh, great. She yelled at me, Mom, my car is dead. It's done. I've got court on the 9th. She got another court date, by the way. She had today, yesterday. But anyway, so David pulled her out with the truck, with the tractor and rope and pulled up to the flat area. And after the baptism, he said, now just drive your car back and forth, see how it goes. I kind of think it'll be okay once you get in the flat. I think all the fluid just went to the back. And so she did that and it was fine. She got down back to the road and said that no problem, it was just fine. It took her all the way home and she's still using it. So God just met her in so many ways. It was wonderful for her to see God's hand and she was really blessed. So anyway, I wanted to share that and thank you for all your prayers. You've prayed for her and she thanks you.
So, amen. Okay, yeah, awesome, awesome testimony. Thank you, Debbie.
But can I say one more thing? She does have another court thing dealing, but they pulled up from the past. And she went yesterday, we've been praying that the judge would dismiss it because I just thought he would, but he didn't. It's another continuance, all this again. But she is moving at least to the town now where this is at. She's had to travel to another town like 35 minutes away. And she'll be right there, be close. And it's a good thing she's moving. She's got a nice place out of the place where she's at. There's a lot of trouble there in the area, drugs and cops all the time, really bad, got really bad lately. So she's really blessed. And I saw her video, it's a nice 2-story, 3-bedroom. So it's really nice, Lord's really blessed her. So anyway, and he's gonna help her through this. He's got a purpose for it all. And she knows that, even for this court stuff again. So we'll just see what he has, but it's gonna be good in the end. So thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, yeah. It ain't over yet. The judge going to dismiss it. Amen. He's go ahead.
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead, Geneva.
Okay. I just want to thank the Lord for a good first day back to work yesterday. I had a lot of people tell me that they missed me. And I was like, well, don't miss you. I'm just kidding. but really, yes, I'd rather stay home, but no, I'm just kidding. I love the people I work with. They did legitimately miss me. but hold on one second. Sorry. You okay, little girl? Okay. She's okay. Anyways, I just want to thank the Lord that, it was a good first day back and that, I was able to get all of my passwords and get logged back on my system and everything. Say like shut it down basically while I was out. So I came back to like 500 emails and all kinds of stuff. So I had to go through all that, but anyways, I got through it pretty quick and, I was praying that I would. And then, I also found out that they, lowered my caseload to kind of help me out a little bit as far as it goes, like with having to run around and see patients. And so, they like made it more fair among the social workers. So that was really nice to hear too. And then I also got to go home early, which I was really thankful about. So I just wanted to work for that, but also wanted to tell you all that, God's been blessing me with a bunch of dreams here lately. And it's crazy how, when you know, are in your word and you write them down, it seems like he blesses you with more, which is what Isaac's always told me, you know, and it's true. And I've been having a lot of dreams, and I feel like some of them have been pretty good. And I've had like two or three different dreams about, like, and David and Michael were both in them. And like one short one was like, they were coming over to our house, and I knew they were going to be there soon. So I was like, I got to jump in the shower real quick and get ready for their arrival. And I know that, like, I don't know, I feel like to me, like, that was like sanctification process maybe, or to be honest, I haven't really got to get in my word just yet about it, 'cause I think I just had that one last night. But anyways, I you know, I'm sure you all could probably help interpret that. But it was like, I was really excited, and it was a good dream. And sorry, I feel like I'm kind of all over the place trying to explain this stuff, but kind of funny. The other night I was having a difficult time. I was feeling really emotional, and I think it was because I knew I was going to start work the next day, and I was just kind of upset about it. And, you know, I didn't want to leave the baby, and had a bunch of emotions trying to come over me. Sorry, that's Micah in the background. And so I was just praying and stuff. Anyways, like, I ended up kind of getting, I kind of got a little frustrated about some things or whatever. And, you know, I guess my emotions kind of came out toward Morgan some, like, and they shouldn't have, you know, that was me. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. It was just me being, like I said, emotional. And anyways, that night I went to bed, and that night I had a dream that there was like this dark cloud over me. And it was like, I don't know if it was actually happening in the physical or not, but there was like this dark cloud over me, and it couldn't, like, there was like a glow around me. So like, it couldn't penetrate, like it couldn't, you know, it couldn't get through, but it was hovering over me. And it was like the Lord spoke to me in the dream, and he said, you better ask for forgiveness, or else this can get through. And so, like, I immediately woke up out of my sleep, and I looked over at Morgan. I woke him up. I go, I'm sorry for how I was being when I said, and he was like, okay, that's fine. And then I immediately went back to sleep, and I was like, whew. When I woke up the next morning, I was like, yeah, that was the Lord definitely telling me get your act together. You know, so anyways, just wanted to thank the Lord for that and for his conviction, you know, and he chastises those whom he loves. So just want to thank for that, for the dreams. And I know that work is going to continue to get better. And, you know, I'm believing, like I said, with you all, that I'll be a stay-at-home mom. But for the time being, I'm just going to continue to thank him for what I have, because I do still have it really good, you know. And I gotta tell myself that, and I gotta remember that, you know, because I really don't know how people do it, like, or these moms, you know, they have to go work long, long hours and be away from their babies, and God bless them and be with them, you know. But I remember that I'm still very blessed for my situation, and I know that God's going to continue to bless us. But anyways, that's all I want to say.
Did she say, hold on a second? No. Okay.
Oh, no, I'm done.
Okay. All right. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Greg.
I might be speaking a little bit out of school here. However, the lady isn't often able to speak in here. So I got a message. You might remember Tracy was mentioned a few weeks ago about her loan on her car, and it was due to be paid off in October. Well, I got a message from her on the weekend, I think it was. I'm just scrolling back. Yeah, well, last week, actually. And she said, my black car is paid off this month. And I said, well, that is outstanding. A little earlier than anticipated, as I recall. Yes, sir, I was thinking October, ... but gone. So if you recall that, I'm just bringing it up as a testimony praise point that that car paid off.
Thank you, Lord. That's always good. Praise the Lord, Tracy.
Amen.
Amen. Yep, she is. Okay. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Go ahead, Andrea.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. I've got a praise report. So my little four-year-old daughter came into the our living room the other night at bedtime in tears. And when I asked her what is wrong, she told me she drew a picture for Jesus, but Jesus didn't come and take the picture. At that moment, I was completely, I didn't know what to say or what to tell her. But then the Lord was so graceful, and he reminded me this week in John 14 about if anyone loves me and will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And I explained that to my little girl. And then also Claire gave me the idea of making a prayer journal for my two little ones. So the one little girl is 4 years old, and then Yanni is six. So they started their prayer journals this week. And it's just so beautiful. Just the faith of a little child in what they draw God, what messages they want to write to God. And we've just been, I've just really been really humbled in being reminded of we should have childlike faith when our faith to God this week.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. For the little ones. That is, that's real, real cool. I enjoyed that. I love the little ones. Go ahead, Isaac. I love the big ones too.
hey everybody. I got a praise report I want to share real quick. Sunday I had to fly back out to Pennsylvania. So I'm here now. And so I scheduled my flight Saturday. And the flight for Sunday, I was leaving at like 11. I get to Chicago at like, 1:40 or something like that. Or I was supposed to have like a 55 minute layover. So when I fly to Chicago, I go to Pennsylvania, right? Well, the flight ended up getting late. And on that flight, I was kind of being tried, not too much, just, you know, I had a guy pretty much setting on me the whole time. I just dealt with it. I was like, well, okay. You know, poor fella. I was really squished, but I just made the best of it and dealt with it. It ain't like the first time. And whatever. Anyways, so, the flight gets there pretty late. And, you know, I felt like 55 minutes is a good enough time for me to get to the airport and get to my next flight. Gives me enough time, you know, because that's departing. So, you know, I guess think about it, I got 25 minutes to get there before the flight starts to board, right? Well, when we actually arrived, I had 15 minutes before flight departed. So it already boarded. And I thought, man, come on. And I thought to myself, well, Isaac, can you produce enough fruit by being sat on? Come on. Let me just get on time. And so I was a little frustrated, man, at this point. I was like, man, I'm going to miss my flight. I had a fly out on Mother's Day. Going back to Scranton. Come on. And so at this point, I can't find help anywhere. I can't find because here's the thing. When I first left out early in the morning, the Lord was just working this all out in my weakness, just to show his strength. So that morning when I first flew out, they didn't have paper to print. They were low on printing the boarding tickets. So they only gave me my one for my first flight, which is from Florida to Chicago. And then when I landed in Chicago and I had 15 minutes to get on the flight before it departed, I didn't have a boarding ticket. So I didn't know what gate I needed to be in. I didn't know where I was at. I was trying to find help. Where is somebody at? Just anybody. I couldn't find nobody. I found somebody, though, with 2 minutes before the flight departed. And then I found out man, I just missed my flight. 2 minutes. It's a few gates away, probably. You know, Chicago's a big air hub. So, you know, I was not gonna lie, I was a little frustrated, but I was trying to hold it back. You know, I'm not taking out on nobody. I see the sky. I said, I'm sitting in line. He goes, I'll be right with you. I said, and he's talking to a pilot or something. I said, sir, if you just talk to me right now, I'd really appreciate it. I said, here's my flight number. This is the flight number. Where do I need to be? He goes, you're like two or three gates away. I was in like B. He goes, you need to be in F, and it's or terminal F, gate 25. I'm like, okay, how do I get there? He goes, well, it's a little ways away. He goes, what's your flight number? I told him. He goes, well, you need to get there. And keep in mind, everybody, it was 2 minutes before the plane took off in the air. It's already been boarded. You know, this is a done deal, right? Done deal. Done. So I sat there, and I'm walking away. He goes, sir, what was your flight number again? And I said, 5449. And he goes, your flight doesn't depart till 6. And I said, what do you mean? And I had the ticket. I sent the ticket to Mariana, and it shows where I departed at that time because I saved it. I took a picture of it. I screenshot it. I got on my email because I was so confused. I went back. So am I missing something? Did I just schedule this later? This no doubt happened. And I went and talked to customer service. They said, that's weird. What? They said, you sure? I said, well, here's the ticket. I'm showing it to you on my phone. And he goes, yeah, that's really weird. It just changed from 1 to 6 o'clock. So I was able to get me some food, sit down, and fly out. And this no doubt happened all on its own. It literally just changed, man. 2 minutes to go. And the guy looked at me when I was talking to him because I was so like, I was like, I need to get there. I was feeling real anxious. And he goes, sir, it doesn't depart till 6. I said, what do you mean? And he looked at me and I said, 6. And dude, I watched this on my phone, guys. I literally watched it. My phone, because I have like these emails and like reminders, it changed. The number went from departing at like 1:50 to departing at 6. And went, boop, just changed. I said, huh? And the flight was still there and it still got me there. Man, I've never seen that. And I asked customer service, why does this happen? And they said, well, it doesn't. I don't understand what's going on. I said, I don't either. Yeah. And I said, are you sure I'm not missing something? And they said, no, but here's a boarding ticket for you now. And it was my flight. So I don't understand. I got proof of it on my phone, proof of it. And I sent it to Mariana. Here, I'll just show y'all too. You know, I know y'all believe, but I'll just show you anyways. 1 second. That's right here. Yeah. Let me turn this camera on here. Okay. So I don't know if y'all can see that. Yeah, right there. So I was departing, right? At 11 to 449. Okay. So that's the thing. Since Chicago's an hour behind also, right? Because it's central time. Now, here's what's real weird. This is what populated. To 605 to 905 get to Pennsylvania. It just happened. And it really blew my mind because, like I say, customer service didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. Mariana and the kids prayed for me because I called her and said, you just got to pray for me. And they prayed for me, and it literally within a minute, everything just changed, just like that. Amazing.
Can God do anything? He can do anything. Glory to God. He can change anything, anytime, anywhere. I'm telling you. Thank you, Lord. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Father. You need to write that up, Isaac, when you get a chance to send it in so we can put it on the website.
Yeah, I will. I sure will because, like I say, that flight was just missed. And for usually you go to customer service, they have to set you up. And I don't know, for just it to change and be like, it was so amazing, man. I even got me some lunch. Thank you, Father.
Still muted. Okay. Praise God. That's awesome. All right. Anyone else? Well, I hope everybody listened to the broadcast Sunday. Did everybody listen to the broadcast Sunday? Okay. Okay, well, that's what we'd like to talk about tonight is the broadcast. Has anybody got any questions? I only listened to it one time, but I only had a little chance to listen, so I went ahead and listened to it. And sounds like we're in for a little bit of a turmoil here coming up. Has anybody got any comments on that broadcast? Yeah, Missy.
One thing that hit me today, I was listening to it again, and it wasn't too long ago that I finished listening to it. Now, am I wrong or what? But
probably.
Didn't we hear that Trump supposedly that actually Biden did not get any nuclear codes?
Yep.
So then, or anybody in his administration supposedly. So I'm just wondering how that computes with this whole nuclear exchange.
There are still military, as far as I know, there's still military deep state that have access to certain types of nuclear missiles.
Okay.
That's, I'm just throwing that out there because I know they're still working on that end of it, getting rid of the deep state generals and admirals.
Okay.
You got to understand that military is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to discount the fact that also nuclear bombs that have gone missing in the past, nuclear things that have gone missing in the past, you know, for such a time as this. So I don't know. Has anybody else got a better explanation? I'd be glad to hear it.
I don't know about better, but I should imagine not having the codes that they would be fiddling trying to get around them or something like that, which could trigger an accidental.
Yeah. Well, what else you got to bear in mind, on a lot of ships, there are nuclear missiles. That you don't have to have a code for small stuff, you know, that'll only take out a city or something, you know, something like that. Remember, did David talked about Garrett's dream, didn't he, about the accident? Yeah. So-called accident. Well, that could happen. If they want to start a war, that's a good way to do it. If you got a rogue admiral out there on a cruise missile ship, that's dangerous. All right, anybody else got any questions? Did David say, now I'm going by memory here because I listened to it yesterday. Didn't David say that the Lord said not to pray this down? I think he, yeah, okay. Not to pray it down because he was fixing to get rid of some folks. But he did say that people who are in blue areas, densely populated areas, to leave them. Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, you said like cities, get out of the cities. But he did say though too, you know, even though the Lord gave that answer, he's been known to change his mind because of people repenting.
Yeah. 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 Like, oh, what was the example he gave? Can't remember now. Go ahead. Do what, Missy?
I can't remember what the example was either.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Malcolm.
It was a scripture he made reference to, I think, in Ezekiel about people repenting.
Okay.
That God would repent on the judgment. So.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think he said you couldn't pray it down, but he said, Lord asked him not to. I kind of sense that there was a little bit of negotiation possible.
Negotiation is what? What are you talking about?
You know, like Abraham with whoever the one of those three men were before Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just the feeling I got from the way David phrased it.
Yeah, both David and Eve got the answer not to pray it down. Yeah, Missy. Wait a minute, Malcolm, are you through? I'm sorry. Well, I guess so. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, to me, it sounds like I had mentioned, the best way to avert this is to pray that God's people repent, that people repent, you know? I mean, like David shared, you know, I don't know how, because I don't watch mainstream news or anything, but he read an article about how they're saying that they're gearing up for a possible nuclear exchange or whatever. And so, I mean, I don't know if enough people understand enough of what's going on to even, you know, take it seriously and realize, you know, we got some repenting to do. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think people realize the urgency. I don't think that, well, it's not going to hit my city because my city is a good city, you know, that kind of stuff. It's going to hit the ones that God wants to clean out. That's the ones it's going to hit. And, I would, if I were in or around a large city, I would ask the Lord, am I supposed to get out of here now? Am I supposed to leave? And if he says yes, pack them up and get out. Here's the deal when, if this deep state bunch nukes something in Russia and still calls it an accident, Putin ain't going to go for that. He's going to retaliate, and he's going to retaliate quickly. And when he does that, then it'll be too late, you know. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I guess what I'm interesting thing that the Lord had me in Revelation this morning, Monday morning. On Monday morning, I get up early and then I drive up here to Poconos, and then I listen to the message on the way up. But he had me in Revelation there, Matter of fact, it's had me in Revelation for quite a while here. And in that Revelation 13:6 is talking about the manifestation of the beast and the devastation that's going to happen then, and the attack of the beast against the man-child and various other different things like that. So I think, and when I was coming up and listening to the message, I was thinking, because here I live right outside of Philadelphia, and I can't think of this is definitely, this part of the country is definitely a blue stranglehold, so to speak. But I was listening to the message when I was coming up, and I was just thinking of household salvation. And the need to stay strong and trust God that He is, I'm on a personal level, has led me to this place, to where I am at now. And that He knows what He's doing. I didn't get up to this part of the country on my own volition or own desire. I gave previous testimony that I always said, I'd never live west or east of the Mississippi. And that didn't pan out. The Lord had a different idea. And He brought me up into this part of the country, to the birthplace of American freedom. You know, so there's something in me that just says for some reason God has brought me here for that reason. However, I have a son that lives in Philadelphia, and so. You know, I have a real desire to be confident and trust. I know that the Lord has brought us up here for a particular reason, and I just trust Him for His salvation and His household salvation that He is able to bring in the prodigal child, the wayward children. And I speak this not only as just say in my family, or but I look out across our nation. Just look at the only reason that I have come to where I am at, and I'm sure that's the same way with you all, is that God put a desire in my heart to know Him, to know the reality of the true Jesus, the true God. And I wasn't seeing it, nor were any of you seeing it represented in the churches out there. I know all I did was follow my heart and follow the desires that God's given me, and to seek Him and to move toward Him. And this is where I ended up. So all I can say is for me, say, to pack up and leave, I wouldn't know where to go. Because quite frankly, there's no safer place than being in God's hands and in His presence. I would just set that, you know, to the side. But the thing that I'm really praying for is that I know that in these verses that I was reading in Revelation, is that the devil basically, that God gave the devil, the beast, authority and a command to destroy his people. Now, and the thing that hit me today is that he gave the devil the mandate, shall we say, but he didn't give him the ability to overcome the saints. He gave the devil the mandate to destroy the saints. You know, that's go ahead and do it. But that doesn't mean that the saints can't stand up and resist in the name of Jesus and take him down. He doesn't have the authority over us. He's been given that mandate to try to destroy us, but he can't do it. He can't do it for those that are standing in the Spirit of God and trusting the Lord Jesus for his supply, for our supply. So I just, to a certain degree, I'm wondering, you know, how do I pray related to the situation? I think of that, even in that message, when I think it was Garrett Crawford's message talking about the dog, his dogs were in the house with him, and he opened the door and his cat was outside, and they all withstood the carnage. So I have to believe that the Lord in his mercy is going to use this situation, and however it pans out, to turn hearts to him and to, I was thinking about back when 9/11 happened, and I was actually in New York City. I think, 9/11 happened on 9/11 in 2001. I went to New York City with my brother and brother-in-law, and we decided to take a trip up to New York. They wanted to see New York City. I'd never been there, and quite frankly, had no desire to go there. If I could say it was going into the belly of the beast, that would be the beast. So my brother-in-law, he was co-pilot, and I drove up, and he basically told me where to go, and was watching for signs and all this sort of kind of the navigate. And so we went up there and we stayed the weekend and kind of, took the subways and walked through the city and this and that. They wouldn't let us down into around where the trade towers were. But one thing that struck me about that city when I went there, because I was expecting something totally different, it's like God humbled that city, and the people in the city where we met people, just on the street asking. I had people there that we were, holding a map or a tour map type thing. We're looking around, and we had people that would come up, walk across the sidewalk and say, "Can I help you? You look like you're looking for something." And it so staggered me that you would never see that in Philly. I'm sure, you know, you'd never, I would have never expected it in New York City. Everybody's hustle and bustle, doing their own thing, you know, get out of my way, you know, that sort of thing. And I heard so many people that would just, it changed people's hearts. It humbled people through that whole process. Now, in later years, I went back and kind of expected the same thing. And it all of that went south. It was back to the old hardline, you know, belly of the beast, survival of the fittest type of mentality. But unfortunately, the church, I think the people of God weren't able, prepared, weren't awake, weren't focused, weren't ready to bring in the harvest at that time. And in that humbling environment, that humbled environment, the message of God's word could have went out, could have penetrated hearts, could have set people free, could have healed, could have delivered. It's just, but so God created the environment through that process, but I don't think the people were awake. The people weren't awake to address it. So I'm praying that God will, in this process that we're going to go through, will have awakened as many Christians, opened as many eyes to be able to cooperate with His Holy Spirit to bring forth and take advantage of the humbling that has to come. That has to come in this nation, because we are a self-sufficient, proud, and I don't say proud in a positive way. I say an arrogant. We are a people that is away from God, have turned away from God, and God's going to bring us through this process, and He's going to deliver heart. And I guess I just have to say, we just have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to, you know, just accept that God knows what He's doing, and He's taking us through this process. So anyway, praise the Lord. We are where we are. And I kind of never thought that I wasn't expecting to fly away, but I kind of was expecting to, you know, be here in this situation either. But here we are. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, we didn't expect it to come this quick, you know. Of course, it hadn't happened yet, but this is all God's timing. So we'll see what happens. I'd like to ask a question. Who is Lily K? Lily K, who might you be, girl? Lily K. You got to unmute yourself in order to.
Hi, talk. Sorry.
I was
trying to find it. Hi. I'm Lily Kopitz, cousins of Theo and Lana.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of figured that, but I had to make sure.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have you, Lily.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anybody else on the broadcast, Sunday? It's a time to reflect where you are with the Lord, you know, and Julie's right. You have to be, I think it was Julie's, let me see. That was Malcolm. Yeah, Malcolm. Well, if we're not hearing from God, that's a problem. So it's a time like we've been talking about for quite some time. It's a time to get close to the Lord and understand your relationship, where you are with Him, and humble yourself before Him and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Amen. Anybody else have any questions or comments on David's broadcast Sunday? Yeah, David, go ahead.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, bud.
So, I've had a few dreams lately, and it's been nice. God's finally showing me dreams again. It's been a while. It's been a rough road because, you know, whenever you have that moment where you're like, man, dreams after dreams, and you're like, this is so cool. And then there's just that dry area where you're like, man, I'm not getting dreams. What is going on? But yeah, I finally had a few dreams, but I mean, ever since I had that dream that we were moving up on that mountain, because and just lately God's just been opening my eyes to the corruption of the things going around our shop, and I mean, getting bosses into gambling, and he goes out to casinos weekends, gambles away money, and it's just And literally everybody in that shop smokes. I'm like the only individual that sticks out like a sore thumb, that doesn't smoke, doesn't vape, doesn't curse all the time. And I'm like, Lord, I know I'm not alone. It's just me and the Lord. I can't wait till God moves me out of there. I mean, working in Memphis, we have this guy that works there that lives in Memphis, only like 2 miles away from the shop. And he said on average, there's 3 killings around his house per night. He said he can't fall asleep unless he hears sirens and gunshots. And it is bad, and it's getting worse. And there's apartments being burnt down because druggies, and it's getting crazy, and I want to get out. I can't wait to move on that mountain that God showed us. It was so peaceful up there. But I mean, I thank the Lord for, I mean, this over a year we've lived here, and it's just a lot that God had to work out of me, and still working, still working. And after listening to that broadcast, I'm like, I mean, the old me, if I were to hear something like that a year ago, I would have got angry at the deep state, what they're doing. But now I listen to it, I'm like, you know, what is there to fear? I was like, God said he would be walking around through fire unhurt, untouched. Like, that's what, and that's God's promise, and that's what we're gonna do. And we right now in my mind, I'm like, I know God's there. God's gonna be there. He's gonna be that fourth man always. He's never going to leave us alone. And that's just, and there's a song that God put on my heart that I've been listening to a lot. And it's just, it's been a blessing. And it reminds you of every time God stepped in the lion's den. And you think about that stuff, and I mean, we don't know what's going to happen either there's gonna be a war or not, you know. I mean, I don't have any and like no part of me wants, like, I don't feel like I want to look into the news and whatnot, see what's going on there. And I'm like, Lord, just let me focus on you, because I mean, the news isn't gonna get me through. And I was like, and just lately, we've been going through the book Delivered from the Dark Powers, and man, what's God been doing through us is in us, working things out of us. I just look at the lost people around me, and I'm like, man, I wish you guys knew. I wish you guys knew. But the Lord knows what's best, and his timing's always perfect. It's never going to be off. So, I mean, I'd like some prayer. So that way, I don't get discouraged at work. You know, because people curse around me all the time. Anytime either someone says a curse word to me or shows me a finger, I have to pray it down immediately. And it's just, and that's a daily basis for me. Continuously, I have to pray things down about every 10 minutes. that's how bad it is. But, and it's been a long trial. And I know by the time we move to that mountain, God's going to perfect whatever he's doing. And praise God for that.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you are pushing David and Alina up the mountain. And we praise you, Father, for your Psalm 91, protection around about them. We thank you, Lord, that you have taken all fear away from them, that they don't have to worry about anything. Just worry. Is not very fruitful in our lives, that we don't worry. We just follow you and let you lead us and guide us into the things that you want us to do. And I know, Father, that you got us all in these situations and circumstances for a reason, and that is to get rid of the old man. And I thank you, Father, for humbling us. And we praise you, Father, for the work when it's finished, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your finished product, which is called Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that everybody here is seeking you with all their heart. And when we do that, Lord, everything else that we need will come. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It is finished. That's right, Sam. All right. Anybody else? That's the thing we have to look for, is just look for Jesus. Just seek him. When we seek him with all our heart, there's nothing else we have to worry about. We don't have to worry about nuclear wars going on around us. Or you just wipe the dust off and go on and preach the gospel. Amen. All right, Patrick. You need to unmute. It's a whole lot better to be able to hear you.
I thought they did. How about
now? Yeah, we can.
So one thing is that when this happens, whenever it is, we're probably not going to have Zoom, probably not going to have telephones. You know, I have to say that I've grown very dependent and excited about being, you know, in these meetings and listening and just being with God's people is just, it's like finding an oasis in the middle of the desert. You know, you it's like you come home to get rejuvenated and whatever. But, and I think of, so when this thing happens, all of this that we is going to be gone. Everything's going to change. I don't know about communications. I don't know when communications will come back up. I know a lot of us are on Signal and various different apps. I don't even know if that stuff's even going to be up and operating, or you know exactly what's going to happen. And I think that each one of us probably going to go through somewhat of a shock just in that which is happening. And I think about, you know, when the Lord walked with his disciples for 3.5 years there. And of course, you know, Jesus knew when he came over the hill, knew a long time before that, but when he came over the hill to meet John the Baptist for the baptism, he knew that his days were numbered and that he was heading for the cross. But, and he took his disciples through that next 3.5 years and taught them, and then even told them that he was going to be crucified. But there was a time, obviously, when it happened and it shattered those disciples, and now all of a sudden they're on their own. They're alone. They don't have that physical presence of Jesus there. And so, you know, I kind of see the connection the same way. I don't know where we're going to go, what's going to happen after this thing. But does anybody have any thoughts about that, other than just, you know, seeking God, following the Spirit, and moving where, you know, in accordance to where he's telling us, what he's showing us? How do we expect to get back in contact with everybody? Does anybody have any thoughts about that?
Well, I can tell you what the Lord has told us, that angels will be leading people to places of refuge and also to the place where he wants them to be. And if you don't, you know, that's what the Lord has told us. But Greg's got the answer. Let's see what he said. Go ahead, Greg.
Look, a couple of things. I'm just going to backtrack a little bit first, and you can come to this later, Pat. When you use the word "the devil has a mandate," I'm not sure if that's coming across the way you mean it. But anyway, I'll let you come back to what you mean by that. I know he certainly has that function. First of all, one, what you're saying, and I appreciate the physical side of it, but that's an assumption that we won't have communication. I'm not saying that we will, but I would also have to say this much, the Lord is above and beyond that. So whatever communication we need, you know, with each other or whatever, he'll sort that out. So I'm personally not going to fear that. I know he has, and there's, you know, records of this in both in scripture and you know, otherwise, of people being moved around the planet like that. And I suspect that, you know, that may well be the case as well. No, I don't have the answer, and I don't know. It's not something we can plan for, I suppose, you know, on the basis of, you know, an EMP wiping out communications, because he's above and beyond that. And I'll just leave it at that, you know. Things won't be the same, in the next, well, in, you know, the end times and whatever the flag falls to kick off the time of that, if it hasn't already. But if
Uh-oh. He may have been nuked out here. I'll tell you one thing that came to my mind, Pat, is this also, and that is on Tuesdays and Thursday nights during all this turn.
All the details of his plan on the all the way through. He's just, you know, this is next. This is next. I froze up. Oh, well, there you go. No, the Lord doesn't want you to know it. Where did I freeze up at?
Okay. Praise God. I tell you what, Greg, on Tuesdays and Thursday nights during all this, if you'll turn your computer on and come into Zoom, I'll be there. And I'm sure everybody here will be too. So whether or not they got electricity or not, doesn't make any difference. God, if God wants this group to get together at that particular time for instructions, I guarantee you it'll be on. So just remember that.
Fair enough. I'll leave it at that then.
Amen. Not that that's what's going to happen. That's what I believe. Yeah, Missy.
We don't even need Zoom because he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, and we can communicate via spirit. We don't need nothing but the Spirit of God.
Amen. That's right. Amen. I tell you what, something else that something that occurred to me today. We've been together so long, most a lot of us have, that we know when something's up. You know, you can tell when somebody's going through a trial or something. And you might privately contact them and say, well, what's up, man? Can we pray for you about something? That's because we're one body. We're one body. And when one part of the body hurts, the other part knows it. And then they start praying for them. And that's, I believe that's what's going to happen also during this time, you know. What are y'all doing? What is all this? Good gracious. All right. Anybody else? I believe supernaturally God's going to take care of his people, those who are running after him, doing the things that he wants them to do. All right, anybody else? Did y'all see those questions that Rion put in the chat that David had asked during the broadcast? Did y'all see that? Okay. Then I don't need to read them, right? Okay. Yeah, I'll just check.
I'm sorry, Michael, would you mind reading them? Because I know there's people who will be listening later that maybe appreciate it.
Get this a little closer. No, oh, I don't want to end meeting. What are you talking about? Okay. This is, Rion put this in the chat. Here's a summary of questions and answers that David received, and he gave these through the broadcast. Questions David asks, I asked the Lord, should we tell God's people to get out of these cities, and got a yes. Here's a teaching we gave on this years ago, and they're called Flee the Sin Cities 1, Flee the Sin Cities 2. There's two broadcast on that. Then he said, he asked the Lord, are we going to have a nuclear war? And got a no. There was a light orange flash way, way off in the distance. The people to be judged will be spiritually far from Zion and the presence of God. I saw the top of a mushroom cloud. The Lord was letting me know nuclear weapons were going off in a distance that I couldn't physically see. I asked if we should pray this down by faith and got a no. When I forwarded this dream to Eve, she cast lots asking the Lord if we can pray this down. And she received three tells for no. Father has changed his mind through repentance and a cry for mercy in Ezekiel 3:21. And it says, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he took warning, and thou hast delivered thy soul. And then he said, I ask, is this the deep state cities being destroyed? And God, yes. I ask, will this devastation come after the redistribution of wealth planned in the GCR? And received a yes. Eve asked for a confirming word for this and received Psalms 81 and 5. And in context, she's going to read 5 and 7 through 7. He appointed it in Joseph for a testimony. When he went out over the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I knew not, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I provided thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. I ask, is this representing a swift taking down of those who factioned against their own kinsmen? And God, yes. This could be so-called Americans against Americans and so-called Christians against their brothers. Well, amen. Well, thank you, Rayon, for putting that up there. And those are some pertinent questions that David asked and Eve asked and got some good answers for. So we need to be praying, don't we? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask and I pray that your elect out there, you would have them in safe places and you would lead and guide them to the places where you want them to be. And to protect them, guard them against these attacks. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, we thank you for your angels out there that are going to take places, people to places where you want them to be to escape this these attacks. And also to be a help to everybody else, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for your leading in every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. That we would all end up in the same place that you want us to go, which is in you. Amen. When we're in Jesus, you can't go any further than that. All right, anybody else? I just got a text on my phone from Stu Peters Network. It says, live. The Food Drug Administration finally says, treat COVID like the flu. Treat the COVID like the flu. Uh-oh, it's coming out. It's coming out. I was in a large hospital the other day, and I got to talking to one of the nurses, Christian nurse, and I was asking her what the protocol was for that hospital as far as COVID was. She already told me that they had lost a lot of people in that hospital. I said, well, what was the protocol for them? She said, well, the first thing we do is put the ventilator down to help them breathe. And then we give them remdesivir or whatever they call that stuff. Remdesivir. Does anybody know how to pronounce that?
Remdesivir.
Yeah, that one. Remdesivir. And I said, oh, okay. And I didn't say any more because I knew it was useless because it came from the administration, and if it came from the administration, it has to be fact. You know, that's the way that people think in hospitals nowadays. They don't think that they're there to murder people. They're there to help people, but they're dying every day. Now somebody ought to, at some point in time, get a revelation. But they don't. They just go along with it and just keep doing it. And people keep dying. And now the truth is coming out, even about that. And then you still have people, even, I'm just amazed. I am so amazed. So many people still wearing masks. That's a spirit of fear that is permeating this country. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. You know something? I have not worn a mask the last week and a few days going into a hospital. Now, I'm not the only one. But I'm one of very few that goes in there and comes out and walks around, and nobody has said anything to me about it. Nobody. And I don't flaunt it. I don't like to wear them because they restrict my breathing. And I like to breathe. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my.
What were you doing in the hospital, Michael?
I was visiting a relative of mine. I don't want to go any further than that right now. You know what we talked about Saturday night. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Pat.
So I was thinking, am I muted?
No.
I was thinking about there's a condition, obviously, that there has been a lot of people, and I'm going to place it in the factious, that have turned antagonistic. And I can't help but think that there's a certain antagonism there that is, that obviously it's personally, you know, a person needs to give up and seek God. But there's also a sense that those people are rejecting the God or the Christ that has been presented to them. And whether it be through the apostate system, or the religious system around us, or whatever, and those people have rejected that particular view of God or that view of Christ. And so, I think that I'm in hopes that this process that God is destroying that false image to a certain degree, and that when it is destroyed, that those people will return, will seek God, to find Him, to find the real, true Jesus, submission to His word, receiving of the Holy Spirit, etc. So I guess that's also a prayer of mine as well, is that that I am prepared at that time as well to cooperate with God in that process. So Father, Lord, I just come to you. Thank you that you are well aware of every one of our needs. You designed the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and that you have a perfect solution, a perfect answer. You have the ability to draw our hearts toward you, to tear down the strongholds, to open up our eyes, and to set the captives free. So, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit you've given us to set us free, to guide us into all truth, and to deliver. Lord, we ask you to have mercy upon our acquaintances, those that we know, those that are far off away from you, and that you would draw their hearts, that you would shine that light, shatter that darkness, destabilize the factious, and bring your humbling experience into all those lives that you desire to touch, and turn their hearts toward you, Lord. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we just trust you, Lord, for leading us through and to accomplish your good work in your timing. And we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, just it's a reminder of some of the studies that we've heard from UVM. But you have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And each time one of these principalities lost its governing ability to the next one, it always started with a war. What you're discussing here is a conflict, a minimal conflict between the two biggest powers on the earth. And I was just kind of wondering if this is the next event to get into the iron and clay. And I was wondering if that's highly likely.
Well, you have to understand that the deep state don't care how many people are killed. They do not care. For goodness sake, most of them are Satanists doing evil, horrendous things to people already. And all they care about is themselves and what they get out of. They don't care about anybody on this Zoom tonight or most of the people in the world. I mean, their agenda is to kill people all the way down to, I forget how many millions, I think it's 100 million or something like that, people in the world. That's their agenda.
Yeah,
go ahead, Andrew.
Kind of reminds me of Revelation 18:24, and actually what the verse there that goes from Abel to Zacharias. So I understand that between Zacharias and to today, that that there is a time period there too that would be the same because of the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were killed. That's 1824. And you know, that's just the warning. So you know, I was just wondering if it was that time for that rendition because of what might come, well, what is going to come to pass, when it does come to pass, that there's I couldn't imagine a great fear around the world that would even throw off the fear that just finished happening with COVID and the masks. And of course, even, you know, prior to that was the slandering spirit that came to be pretty excessive around the world for a certain world leader. And then other bigger happenings and lesser happenings too, just during our lifetimes. So, you know, reminds me of the verse there where Peter is warning us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that it says, "Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, everything remains the same." And I just kind of wonder if there are Christians out there who are having this kind of dull sense of asleep. You know, they're asleep and not really realizing what has changed. Even in like my lifetime, I'm 60 years old, and there's been quite a few changes in the last 60 years. And the term there also in those verses from 2 Peter is they're willfully ignorant of something. So it's a will they have to be this way. Anyway, I just thinking aloud anyway, so praise God and glory to God for everything.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? You know, they're already gearing up for this next winter. Already, they're starting to warn us about COVID and what have you, coming on strong. That's the deep state. They're not going to quit till they, you know, they know their time is short, it looks like. Anyway. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share about this broadcast David put up Sunday? Or any questions? Okay. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Yep, that's right, dude. God's still on the throne and deep state can talk all they want to. Yeah. Dimitri Dedeman. You know, I was when we first started out, somebody was talking about, well, how are we going to know, you know, what to do, how to do, da, da, da. Y'all remember the Boris Sirotsky I can't remember the guy's last name, but it's talking about America, the one on the website where the Russians over in Russia would come together, and the Lord told them that they were going to be leaving Russia and going to wherever he led them. And they started out with, I believe it was 400 families, maybe 40 families. I don't remember, but there's a bunch of folks that took off, and most of them turned around and went back. But the thing that, what they would do, they would pray and they'd ask God, or God would tell them what to do. Every day I'd tell them, well, you go here, you go there, you go here, you go there. And it wasn't like, you know, well, get on Highway 5 and go till you can't go anymore and take a right. No, he would just tell them day by day where to go. Day by day where to go and what to do. And if you remember, some of them would get off track and say, oh, this looks like a better path here. Well, it wasn't. And they'd have to turn around and go back, repent for not following what God told them to do. And that's a lesson we need to learn, is to go do exactly what God tells us to do. When the time comes, if the time comes, you know, in your life that you have to follow him explicitly, word by word, where to go and what to do. Okay. Anybody else? We still got 15 minutes here. Yeah, Dimitri, I think he's got everything up there from Dimitri. Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Right, I'll keep moving. I don't know if I freeze, I suppose. Yeah, I must get those. Sorry, I'm probably coming from an Australian perspective here a little bit, but I was listening to an interview between two people here in Australia. One, and I don't know his name, sorry, off the top of my head, but he's referred to as the Aussie Cossack. I think he has sort of, you know, Russian heritage of some kind. But he's a commentator on a YouTube and various places like that, about, you know, I guess some of the deep state things that are manifesting here in Australia, with some of the things that governments, the police are doing. And he was interviewing another man named Ricardo Bossi, who is an ex or retired like lieutenant colonel in our military. And our military is not as huge as what it is in the US, but he would have been up there anyway. And this guy is fairly outspoken. We have an election coming up in a federal election coming up in 2 weeks. And he was speaking a lot about, now this man has spoken a lot about taking out, I'd call the deep state. He refers to them as the Freemason scum, basically, to use his phrase. Anyway, it's just interesting. Another one I saw was, oh my goodness, the links, and this was not from these people. I mean, that was a 2-hour recording. It's probably worth a look, particularly if you're from here. It kind of struck me a little bit like the Australian version of Trump. He's a Catholic man, so you know he's not a follower of Christ, you know, as I would assess it. Anyway, it was just interesting, you know, comparing it and some of the things our politicians are saying on the media. The thing I watched two things. One was the video or the movie, I guess, and you might probably have all heard of it, 2,000 Mules. I haven't seen the actual movie at this stage, but the evidence that has come out about the election in 2020 in the US, which, you know, I remember the Lord saying to me at the time of the election, when Trump got up and said, oh, they stole it, and him saying, you know, I was thinking, oh, he's, you know, here he is, that mouth off, and Lord said, no, no, no. anyway, the evidence is, you know, it's just, to my mind, it's just like, I don't care where people stand politically, it's just like, you can't really ignore it anymore. And what was the other thing I was going to mention? Oh, yes, that's what I started to say. Another one that was showed all the links between the various politicians and heads of health departments for the various state and federal governments here, and the links to Big Pharma and think tanks and obviously the WEF as well. That was just like, it's just gobsmacking, the connections that are there, you know, family-wise and money-wise, et cetera. Yes, and anyway, so if anyone wants some of those links, I can send it to them. I'm not going to post them here and now. Oh my goodness, this is an absolute utter mess that this planet is in. Absolute utter mess. Without the Lord, we are done for.
Yeah, this nasty business has been going on for quite a while. These stealing of elections, and the name of that movie by Dinesh Suthi is 2,000 Mules. And it's a very telling documentary on this, what they collected through special intelligence that this guy was expert in. And boy, I tell you, it's spot on. And if these people aren't, these officials aren't arrested, at the trial, and they go ahead and do what they got to do about the election, I don't know. So it was released. When was it released? Last Saturday.
Well, I think was the dates I saw on the, I mean, as I say, I haven't seen it. I only saw some promos and some connections, you know, through some of the, I guess, you know, internet news channels. But yeah, the 7th, I think you can go now and download it from the website. 2000mules.com.
Yeah, you can get the whole documentary.
Plus links to all the data. All the data, apparently.
Well, they even gave the amount that Trump won by as far as electoral votes when they did this, Tyler. It's amazing the arrogance of the deep state and how they thought that they could get away with all this stuff. Well, you know, and they have for years.
Greg, what was that site you said we could go to? The site you just said?
Well, the one 2000mules.com, mm-hmm. as in 2000 mm-hmm. The digits. 2000mules.com.
Okay.
.com, I believe, is where you can download that.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's on Before It's News also. Yeah.
Yeah, there would be a number of leaks out there now.
Yeah.
But this Ricardo Bossi guy I was mentioning, you say, look, you know, there's a plan to take out all the deep dark. I mean, in here, you know, it's actually known now that our former prime minister quashed some information investigation that our federal police were doing into pedophilia, and that the names that came, and the reason he quashed it, because the names that came up were very, very high profile people. And the reason he quashed it was that we would lose confidence in our system and our judiciary. God. Well, we should do too.
Absolutely. Anyway,
he talks about a 75-year plan to purge, you know, that darkness out of the system.
I was reading. I was reading about the New Zealand president. I forget her name.
Jacinda Ardern.
Yeah. Okay. And she came. Her and her boyfriend came down with COVID. And generally, when they come down with COVID, they're wearing some kind of a ankle bracelet to keep them. Corralled.
She's a nasty piece of work, that one.
Yeah, she is. She is. She's hurt a lot of people in that country. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to comment on? Well, Lord, you're an awesome God, and we love you, Father. We just ask, Father, that you get rid of any kind of pride that might be in our heart. Get rid of any kind of darkness that's there, Lord. Show it to us so we can repent, get rid of it. And I mean that, Lord. Just clean us up. We want to be ready to help people in a mighty way, Lord. And we want to be able to walk in confidence that you're with us. Walk in confidence that the power of God is behind us. And walk in confidence that you're there with us, holding our hands. Because we sure don't have anything we can offer other than you. And that's enough. But we want to be able to offer it all from you, Lord. And we thank you for doing that in each and every one of us. Cleanse us up so we shine like a new dime in the spiritual realm. And we praise you, Father, for your word and your promises that have showed us the power of God and how it can help people and bring a revival on. And Lord, we thank you for your angels that are out now leading people to the truth of the gospel. That this apostate religion would be taken down. Lord, I've run across it so much here just in the last week. Poor people are in bondage to these apostate preachers and the word that they're teaching. And Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you that you're busting open and busting wide open these demon doctrines that have been handed down from generation to generation through these apostate religions. And Father, we thank you for disrupting them and bringing the leadership down. And Lord, we thank you that your true gospel is going to shine out there, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that heaven will be populated because of it. And we praise you, Father, for boldness to speak and speak the truth to the people. And we thank you for it, Father, because we know that a lot of people are going to be healed, delivered, and set free from the bondages they've been in. And the angels are going to bring them to us, Lord. And get us ready. Restore our minds, Lord, to be able to go into that memory bank where all of these verses are filed, Lord, and be able to capture them up, bring them out at the right moment. Thank you, Lord, for our hearts that are made of nothing but love and compassion for everybody. And Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful and loving and great work you're doing in each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. anybody else. Lord, just fill us up with your Holy Spirit at this time right now, Father. Just fill us up so much so, Lord, that there ain't nothing left but you. Nothing but you, Lord. That's all I want. Nothing but you. And that's all we all want, Lord. We praise you for it, Father. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to pray before we close out here? Yeah, Julie.
Father, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We thank you, Father, that you are on the throne. You're in sovereign control of everything that happens, Lord. And we just take authority over the fears, the worry, the anxiety, the stress, the dread of evil, anything that the enemy's trying to use against any one of us. In the name of Jesus, we bind it and we cast it down. We break its power off of our minds and our emotions, our thought life. And Lord, that help us to keep our minds stayed on you, on the promises, to seek your face earnestly. Seek you while you can be found. We pray that for all our family members and our loved ones and your elect around the globe, Father, for the elect, that they will seek you, Lord, and you will draw everyone to Jesus, draw them to the real Lord, to the real Jesus of the Bible. We pray Psalm 91, protection on our loved ones and our family, Lord, and we cover them all in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you've heard every one of our prayers, for everyone you've put in our heart, everyone you've brought across our paths that we've lifted up to you, Lord, that you're going to use whatever you need to use to get people to repent. And when you've heard our cries and our pleas, Lord, for that mercy and grace that people will repent, we pray for that gift for them, Lord, and that we continue to walk according to your ways, Lord, and stay in your word. Say no to the distractions of this world. That we take heed to the times we are in, and we are diligent about being where we're supposed to be in your word, being about your business, Lord, whatever that may entail for each and every one of us. I pray, God, that we are seeking to know for each and every individual, Lord, that each one of us seek to hear from you directly. If we're to leave where we are, if you've got someplace else for us to go while there's time, Lord, that you show us, that we can all get quiet before you, Lord, and get into on you, ask you specific things, and that you will show us. As your word says that, you know, if we acknowledge you in all of our ways, you will guide us, you'll direct our paths. And if we want to be in your will, Lord, then you're going to answer those things for us. And if it's to stay where we are, wherever that may be, that we have that secret place of the Most High, abiding in the shelter under your wings, Lord, in the hidden place of the cleft of the rock, we are in your hand, and nothing evil can harm us. It doesn't matter what it is. You give your angels charge of us, Lord. We're covered, and we are protected by the blood of Jesus, no matter where we are. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you, Father, for your promises of protection and preservation, provision, safety, whatever it is that we need. You just said ask, and we will receive it. And we believe you, Father. We believe you. We love you. We trust you. I pray, God, that we are hearing only the voice of the Lord, and not our flesh, not another spirit. That if our hearts are right before you and we just want to be obedient to you and trust you, Lord, that you're going to answer us that way. So I pray that we're all just being found at peace and at rest in you, Lord, because you've got this taken care of. And you do hear the cries, Lord, for mercy. And we are praying for mercy, Lord, for not just ourselves, Lord, but about the whole globe. A nuclear attack right now would not be good for anybody. So whatever the enemy is using for evil, Lord, you'll turn it around and use it for good. And if it's to get people, you know, if they're hearing these threats of a nuclear, if there's talks in the mainstream media or wherever these things are being spoken of, Lord, that people seek you, seek and pray to you, and that they, like they've never prayed before, that they humble themselves and that they seek your face and repent of their evil ways and forsake those things, Lord, and turn away from evil and do good. Seek to know you, seek to know what your will is. Cry to you with all of their hearts. Your ways are so much higher than ours, Father, and we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about anything. And I ask, God, that you would give us the words to speak to those you bring across our paths, whether they be family or friends, neighbors, or whomever it is, that you will speak through us, that we will have the answers. And if we don't have the answers, Lord, that we don't say anything we shouldn't. We just point them to the truth. And just, Lord, give us wisdom and grace and discernment and understanding, and just be Christ to somebody, Lord, and to be compassionate and merciful, and that people will see the peace on us, that we're not panicked or worried or stressed out about these things, about these wars and rumors of wars and famines and all these things that, Lord, you warned us about were going to happen. But these are still just the beginnings of the birth pangs. And we thank you, Lord, that that's what these things are. You told us it's not a surprise. We just want to be ready, watchful, prayerful, and abiding in the vine and staying in the rest. We love you, Father. We thank you for your goodness towards us and all the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jenny. All right, folks. We'll see y'all Thursday night. Is anybody scheduled for Thursday night? I don't have my calendar here. Okay, well. We will we'll go into something else. Probably. What is that? Cracker? Good night, y'all.